Hey, welcome back to Section. This is week 9 of CS75. Today we will be doing some AJAX, getting you used to how to make requests using AJAX. Do a couple of examples with AJAX, and then run you through the project tree. So AJAX is asynchronous JavaScript. It's basically a way for a page to make requests to another page without completely reloading the page. An example of this, I'm going to run you through the first example. Let me show you how it works. So here I have an auto-suggest, much like Google does. Let's pull it there. So CS75, for instance, brings up a bunch of searches that start with CS75. In my own example here, I have a list of names that, and when I type in a letter, it pulls up values from a database and shows me all those people whose names start with the letter I entered. I can also do this for longer. I can do, if I mess it up, it says no suggestions and so on. Let's first take a look at the table because that is the easier part. So if you were to submit, let's do it the way we did project 2. So I have a form. I'm going to give you two letters. I want you to submit to a separate form and then look up the value. How would you go about that? Basically pass these values. So if I enter SI, you pass SI to the next PHP page as a get or a post value, and then look it up using some SQL query from this table. We're going to be doing something very similar here, but we will be accessing this PHP page by not posting to it, or the form's action will not be to go to this page, but in fact just look it up using an XML HTTP request. So let's take a look at the table first. The table has three fields, name, age, and city. I created this with my PHP MyAdmin GUI, and I have a bunch of values here. Nothing interesting, just creating a table and storing some values, which I manually inserted using PHP MyAdmin. The second part of this setup is the getNames.php, which when you look at it, it displays all the names, but I'm going to actually give it a value. I'm going to say input equals s, and it returns all those values that just have the name. How did I do this? You should be fairly comfortable with how to go about something like this by now. Let's take a look at getNames.php. Yes. Requirements common.php. As we've seen before, common.php requires another constants.php, makes a connection to a database and selects it. I post a value called input to the page. I pass it as a get parameter. So that's why in the input here, I have, in the file here, I have input equals s. I store that in some start, and then I generate the SQL query which says, select star from users where name like something. How can somebody who's seen this before explain what this query does? Wait, so like tag the after percent s, I have another percent sign, and that basically says select all that start with this character. So if I want to say, I can use it as, it can be a character or a string. In this case, it's a string because start, I've used the percent s in my sprintf. So it basically says, select all those values from my table whose names start with s or si or whatever the input is. It actually runs the query, prints it out. It says my MySQL result has no rows, which means there are no names with that that start with that string. I'm just going to print no suggestions, else I'm going to set up this, I'm just going to print out a pretty, I'm going to figure out a way to print the values in my row. The values in my row are name, age, and city, so I use those to, in fact, just concatenate a huge string with some breaks, the HTML code for breaks, and print it out. So when I go back here, I have... Let's take a look at this table. So I have two people that start with BA. So let's give it question mark input equals BA. And there we go. It prints out both as I expected to. This is easy. To submit to a form and have it print out what you want is fine. But what we're trying to do here and what I've done in suggest.html is have the same be displayed in this page, and when I change the value, it goes back to a different. It goes back. The text displayed here is different. Let's take a look at the source of this page. Not much here, just some basic HTML that displays a text field here, which I'm calling name, and on key up. Anybody who's seen this before, on key up, fairly easy to understand. Not mouse, but keyboard key up. So the moment I hit a letter and I release it, call this function called suggest. Where is the suggest? It's in the script in the file that I've included here with the script tag suggest.js. We'll take a look at that in a second. And then it creates a span named suggestions, which is empty for now. But as you will see, as I fill it up. So in fact, let me move this around so that I can get Firebug back on the middle of the screen. Let's go, there we go. Let's reload this. And as I take a look at my HTML, my body, my span suggestions is in fact what is being what displays the text that I give it back. How did I do this? Let's begin with the JavaScript file. Let's see, suggest.js. Turns off for now. But what is this page do? Basically, I have to set it up such that when I enter key, so suggest, the function suggest, which I've defined here, is what is being called every time the user releases a key in that text field. So every time that is done, I have some value. I'm gonna take that value and work with it. I'm gonna make a request to this getNames.php file. Somehow retrieve the information and then display it using the span suggestions that I've declared in my HTML file. How do I go about this? Function suggest input. So what is the argument that I gave it in the previous page? View source. The argument that I gave it was in fact this dot value, which means the value that's in the text field right then. So if I have si there, the value that gives suggest is in fact just si. And I take this input, I set up a variable called XMLHTTP. What is an XMLHTTP request? It is an object that we use to make requests to XML and HTTP requests. Primarily XML, but also for just text or any form of text that you want to retrieve, XHTML, text, whatever you want, from a different page. And right now we've just declared a variable named XMLHTTP, and we do a bunch of try catch values. So why do we do these? So we begin with Firefox and Chrome, the most generally used. And more modern compared to Internet Explorer, which have the ability to use XMLHTTP request objects. So we set up that request and then say, if that fails, so try catch is basically try something. If it fails, catch that error, which is what this part here right here does. Catch that error and then work with it. So it says, try to set this up for Firefox and Chrome, and then if this fails, create a new ActiveX object, which is basically one of the next five or six lines of code are basically objects that Internet Explorer works with, not XMLHTTP, but very similar in nature, similar properties, try to create those objects. And if you catch an error again, so they are using a browser that does not support AJAX at all. So throw an alert and exit right there. Questions so far? Yeah.
You said exit right there, but should you return there after AJAX?
You're right. I should return there. I should exit out of the. You're right. The next line of code sets up the URL. So have URL equals getNames.php input equals, which is very similar to what I entered right here. So I said. getNames.php input equals s, and what I'm concatenating here is the value that I give it. So this makes sense. So I have it in my text field. I type something. It passes along to this function. Function takes that value, concatenates it with getNames.php ? Input equals, and then somehow calls that function. Here, so let's take a look at the XMLHTTP request object. Try to understand a few of its properties before we go on to the next line of code. see. I have. Yep. So there are several attributes. The XML HTTP request is very well documented. So if you want to Google that, you will see a list of attributes and methods, most of which you probably won't need, but the important ones are here. So we have steady state, status, response, text or XML, and on ready state change. So ready state basically tells you how ready a page is. That is literally what it means. Whether the page is loaded or it has established a connection, or whether it's received a value. The status of the page gives us a value. For instance, when you go on a page and you see a 404, what does a 404 mean? Page not found, and a bunch of other errors. 200 is good. We never see that because it's good, and we never have to see it. Response text or XML. Our values, which as we will see, are the values that are passed back from a request. And on ready state change is a special property which says if the state changes, if the ready state, which is right here, if this changes, do something. So like we saw with the Google Maps API last week, this is a sort of listener. It listens to see if the ready state changes, and if it does, calls some method which we can pass it. It has two methods here, open and send. We will take a look at the actual implementation of these in a second. But open basically opens a connection to a page. So here we want to open a connection to getNames.php. So open is the function that we will call to make that connection. And send actually makes the request. Whatever values you give it, passes that request on to make it. Questions about this? Great. Let's see how we actually use these. So we begin with, so much like last week, we hear on ready state change. I call it a function. I'm not naming this function, although I completely can call this some handler and then open a separate function. I'm just saying XML HTTP on ready state change equals some anonymous function that I define within here. I say if XML HTTP, which is the object that I've defined here, if it's ready state, so it's four. So if it is ready to, if it has completed the connection, it says response text equals XML HTTP response text. So response text is a variable that we're creating right now. But on ready state change, the moment the state changes, so the moment we submit a request and we get back a value, if the ready state is four, so if we've gotten back the value and are ready to process it. Grab the response text, which is an attribute of the XML HTTP request. So we've sent the object across. It gives it the response text and brings it back. And once we receive it, we check to see if it's ready to be processed. And the moment it's processed, we grab that response text and store it in this variable called response text. Questions? Great. Just for fun, it's fun to play around with just throwing alerts randomly to see what these different attributes hold at different times. Most of the time, it's hard because actually on ready state change, if you throw an alert with the ready state value every time this state changes, you will actually see the page progressing through the different states. Once I receive that, if input equals null. What does it mean? It means that my PHP page did not give me anything at all. So I'm going to say document.getElementById suggestions.innerHTML equals no suggestions boldface. What? Yeah? Questions?
Oh, should it be response text instead of input?
I'm sorry? Shouldn't? Oh, the reason I set what should be in response text instead of input, the reason I set this up here is when I type, so let's see, so suggest.html. So if I type this and I go back here, it has to erase that value. The other alternative is to pass. The problem with the getNames.php file is if I don't give it a value, which is what happens when I in this state, because input is null. If I don't give it a value, it basically returns all the information in my table. There are ways I can work around that in my PHP file, but I just chose to say no suggestions at the level of JavaScript. Check to see if there's actually something in the text field. If there isn't, just display no suggestions. Else you can say document.get element by ID. So take the document, the DOM, grab the element by ID. The ID is suggestions. So what is the object I just retrieved here? Suggestions was a span in my HTML file. So I grab that span and change its inner HTML to no suggestions. And if that's not true, if there is actually a value here, what I do is I get element by ID suggestions.inner HTML equals response text. Response text being the text that the PHP file gives back to me. So if you take a look at so here as well. Excuse me. So I left this out on purpose because when I do AS, it says no suggestions because let's see. Okay, so here in this case, the input field is empty, and therefore it displaces boldface suggestions as per the JavaScript right here. But in the other case, where I actually type something wrong, I just to make it clear to you, I print no suggestions with no face. And that's why it toggles between bold and normal. So when is this function called? If and only if there's a state change. So this is only this is a listener. So it does not always happen. It waits for the state to change, and then once it's ready, it calls the function. So now we have to actually open the connection and set up this connection, which we do with XML http.open. We're passing it as a get, so we give it get, the URL itself, and true, which is the flag for asynchronous transactions. So this is the true, that flag right there is what determines the asynchronous nature of the transaction. And send null basically sends values every time we're ready. Question, yeah? Right.
Is there a way to use post?
Yes. So I believe the way to use post is to store the parameter separately, and give it another argument in the open connection. So if you take a look at the documentation, you should be able to figure it out. Other questions? Okay. Great. So this is the first part of the AJAX response text request. How do you use this in your project 3? So how does this relate to project 3 at all? Why do we need it? So without AJAX, a lot of what have become common internet features today will look meaningless. For instance, chat, for instance, would not be possible because every time you entered something and hit go, you would have to post to a separate page and store information. You will not be able to retrieve information in small bits and pieces as most pages do today. The Google Map. Let's see, maps.google.com itself, for instance, let's zoom in through. This is an AJAX request, so it's not reloading the whole page, but in fact just updating this one part of the page. So for those who've gotten started on Project 3, you will remember that we retrieve information, so the idea of the project is to populate the five most markers on the five most populated cities in your frame of view. And once up to five, so if you don't have five, you might just do two or three. But once you do that, you grab values from Google News to display on the info windows of these markers. And that is where AJAX comes in. So we're going to be making AJAX requests to the Google News page to retrieve information. So right here, I've made a basic. So if you go on news.google.com. Let's do an advanced news search. So I'm gonna ignore all this. I'm gonna say location. I'm gonna say 02138, which is Cambridge, and hit search. And you will see that there are a bunch of values here. I'm gonna randomly strip out. I have no idea what a lot of them do, but I'm gonna strip out all of these. The geo equals 02138. So this gives it information about where this is coming from. And hit go, and it still gives me the same value. So so here you will see basically what you want to do. And okay, I'm sorry. So you also need RSS output because you want an XML file that you can parse and read. So you also set up and output equals RSS, which will give you back an RSS object that you can parse with XML. So what is how do we use AJAX in what we're doing now? So when do we want to look up, when do we want to populate these markers, do any of these, look up the news, when do we want any of this to happen? What is the trigger for any of these? On the map, so given the map, I'm gonna read news, whatever, but I do it once the user does something. What is that event that triggers it? Zip code or more, or just drags and drops it. So once the user drags and drops it, user drag drop, or uses a geocoder facility, which I don't know if you've set up, but that is how you enter Cambridge, Massachusetts. It actually takes you to the map on Google Maps. Once the user drags, drops, or searches for an address, presumably you want to call some function. So all of these, besides doing other things, so if the user searches for a value, you obviously want to take them there, set the center of the map to that page, and then call some function, which I'm just going to call go for now. And this function presumably will make a request and populate the markers. So what are the steps involved here? Can you guys walk me through it? Let's go. Anybody? I'm sorry? Right. So the first step here is figuring out what are the cities we want news for. Right. So use get the northeast southwest values of the map. Try to figure out where the user is looking at. I guess northeast southwest works. Or if you want to make it easier, just grab the northwest northeast southwest southeast, and that'll give you bounds for where the map is pointed at. Once you grab these latitudes and longitudes, so I'm going to put lat long here. Once you grab these latitudes and longitudes, what do you want to do?
Grab all the cosine
polynomials. Right. So you want to grab. Where do you grab this from? From the database, which you set up using import. So you used import. You took the CSV file. You stored it in a database. You stored it in a table. Now you want to grab information. Let's put down information. We'll talk about what kind of information in a second. From the table. What information do we want here, though? What are we looking for from the table? Right. So we want the zip codes that fall in this latitude and longitude. And once we have these zip codes, we want to find not all the cities there, but only the five most populated, which you can do using a SQL query. If you want to group it using that, or simply order that set of results you get using population, which is one of the fields in your table. Once you have these five cities, let's say you have the five cities here. So I'm going to write down five cities, places, whatever you want to call it. Once you have this, what do you want to do? So let's just step back here for a moment. So we can grab the northeast, southwest, lat longs using JavaScript on your page. So in your page, you're going to say bounds.getNortheast, southwest, whatever. But all this does not happen in JavaScript. It happens in PHP. So here, what do we want to do? Four letters, starts with A. Here is the AJAX request. So you make a GET request. So let's say you have a PHP file. Because of security concerns, your JavaScript itself cannot access Google News pages. There's actually a link on the PDF specs for this, for the Wikipedia article here. And let's say you create some file. Can everybody see? Okay. GET News. Let's create some file.getnews.php that somehow returns values, that returns information we want back to this page. So here, the XML HTTP request object is going to be the URL, is going to be getnews.php, but what information do we need to pass getnews.php? Well, not the zip code. We don't have the zip code yet. So we just have the northeast, northwest, because we can't query a database using Java. We can, but we're not. It's complicated, and we won't. There's an easier way out. So we want to pass it the northeast, southwest values, and then we'll actually query the database in that file. Does that make sense? So here we won't. So even the information we grab from the table will be in the PHP file. And from the JavaScript file, all we want to give it is bounds. We want to say, here's your northwest latitude, longitude, here's your southeast, whatever. Find all the information and give it back to me. So here the AJAX request will basically, to this page, will also entail the values for northeast. I was going to make it one file, but I guess that makes sense.
Cities and zip codes out of them.
Right.
Before you can go to the
news. Right. So I was going to do all of it in one file, but you can break it down into two different files.
Well, and it's just that.
Yeah. And you basically have to grab the five cities and then grab news for each of them. So.
But you would get the zip codes out of your PHP file.
Right. Your piece. So the zip codes out of that PHP file will also be an AJAX request here. Correct.
So you're going
for
two AJAX.
I'm going to. What I was thinking was create one PHP file. That when you give it the northeast and the southwest values, looks at the five most populated cities from the database, grabs the news, and returns it back here okay. JavaScript file.
Okay, I guess.
So, I mean, I guess get news does not work, so we'll just make it get information. Get information. .php, so we're going to give it the northeast values, so this has to be two values because the latitude and the longitude. You can figure out how to pass these, whether you want to pass them as four different values. And the southwest equals a bunch of values, and once you have these values, this is PHP now. So we have those values from get. Once we have those values, we want to grab the five most populated cities from the table. Once we have the cities, we also have associated with it their zip codes, and their lat and long. Once we have these, what do we want to do? Now we actually have to make a request to this page and extract information. So we can say, go from here, set up a URL where your URL will be Google.com. For each of these cities, you will say news.google.com/news?geo=, zip code off that city. Well, no. So there, each city is associated with a zip code.
But each city has more than one zip code.
I'm saying five by five cities. I mean five rows from your table.
Doesn't five cities mean we have to get?
It says five cities, not the specs say five cities, not tables. The specs.
Right.
No. So it says. Let's see. I remember reading the cities. Let's see. Let's look this up. Done. Here we go. Some cities have multiple zip codes, and you need to fetch news from the n largest cities, not zip codes. So you might have to sum up. Yeah, right. So you're not looking for the five most populated zip codes, but in fact looking for cities in that zip code. So I guess in that sense you will have to choose one of the cities, one of the zip codes from this from the rows associated with that city. Well, I mean you could. I mean this is completely up to you. If there are five zip codes, you can choose to pick whichever one you want. So. And once you have, since each of these is associated with some zip codes, latitude and longitude, you query Google News using, so you will say, let's see, so once you have the URL, which is now the new URL is news.google.com and so on, ?geo=, zip code, where zip code is the value of that city you're looking for. And once you have this, you have... right. So once you have this, you have a set of values for the news for each city. Pass it back, which will be a response text. We'll see another way to pass it back in a second. and actually populate markers using create marker, one of the other functions that the API offers. This is the overall broad setup. We'll do a little more of AJAX, and then we'll come back to this. So the first way we return values from the page was response text, right? So we just gave back whatever the page gave it. Now a more popular way here would be just JSON. JSON is a method to encode any a JavaScript object. So we're just going to choose a representation for JavaScript objects and give back values. We're going to agree on this representation, give back values to the JavaScript page on this setup, and create objects from this text. So let's. That is a second demo. And oops, I accidentally just closed that. See, sections.ajax and JSON. And let's run. Doesn't work. There's an error that I wanted to run through with. Let's do this first. So I want to run through how to work with Firebug, because debugging JavaScript is a really hard process. And I made a silly error here just to show you how it works. So open up Firebug, set up the console, and hit refresh. And now let's do a value, and there's an error that is thrown here which says XML HTTP is not defined. So let's take a look at suggest.js. So here it's JSON/suggest.js. It says XML HTTP is not defined. So let's take a look at where that is. It is emits this eval function, which we'll take a look at in a second. But it says XML HTTP is not defined. Let's see why that is so. Oh, it's simply because I've not capitalized it the same way I did across the file. So one of the things with the Google Maps that's really annoying, if you have an error in your JavaScript, the map will simply not show, and you will have no way of knowing why. So open a Firebug if there are trivial errors like these, which pop up really easily, especially with weird capitalization like I chose to do here, and it'll be easy to fix it. Let me quickly SSH to my domain and fix this bug. But so let's take a look at the PHP file associated with this. So let's go back here. So we have suggest getNamesJSON.php, which is similar to that. But here it's also returning. Now it's not returning a cleanly formatted text, but in fact returns just a list of what is this object here? This array of hash tables. So it's an array of hash tables. So the first element is a hash table, the second one's a hash table, the third one's a hash table. What is a hash table? A hash table is a key value pair, so you associate each word with another other piece of information, word, letter, number, whatever you want it to be. Now let's also give the same input values as we did last time. Input equals, let's say, B, and it in fact gives us two of the values. Input equals s, and it gives me back 1, which is all right as in the table. Let's give it a random letter, and it says name no results found. It's just a way of chosen to represent throwing an error when I don't have a value from my table. So let's take a look at the source for this file. GetNamesJSON.phps. So once again, the first part is the same. So I required common.php, so I've connected to the database. I've stored the input in start, and I've selected star from users where name like, also the same from last time. I've made this MySQL query, and I've done something a little different here. So I say, if there's nothing that is returned to me, set suggestion of name equals no results found, and suggestions to suggestion. How I did this, why I did this, I'll see in a second, but how many of you are familiar with this syntax right here? This basically says, add it to the array. You're not associating it. It's basically a form of pushing it onto an array, which is, in this case, suggestions. So I'm adding the array suggestion to the array suggestions. Let's take a look at what happens if I actually have results. So once again, I'm fetching arrays from my result. This you should be familiar with from Project 2. I'm initializing suggestion as an array, So once I do that, I store a bunch of properties here, suggestion name equals whatever, and then I'm pushing this suggestion onto the suggestions setup. So what am I doing here? So every time I read a row, I create an array suggestion that stores the values from that row. And then at the end of creating this array, I push it all into this bigger array called suggestions. So my setup is basically a list of this is my suggestions suggestions. I'm just going to put an S at the end to show that this is the big one. And each of these are a suggestion that is pushed on to this array at the end of every iteration. Once I do this, I set up header, which you can just do because we're just saying that we're about to send out some plain text, and then I print JSON encode suggestions. So JSON encode is a PHP function which takes a value and returns the JSON form of it. So in this case, when we do JSON slash get names that, the way it chooses to represent the setup, that setup right there, which was, so in this case, for instance, the setup was bar age whatever, I have no idea what I have, 25, city whatever, baz 26 whatever, and there's nothing here. It chooses to represent this setup as a key value pair of two, as an array of two sets of key value pairs. And this is a form of encoding that we've all agreed upon, and JSON returns the string as in that format. Why is this useful? If we've agreed upon this, we can write common methods in common functions in JavaScript to access these values, convert it into an object, and grab the values easily, which is exactly what I do in my suggest.js page. Well, we'll go to a suggest and then I'll take questions. Once again, suggest has an input, which is the value of the text field. It tries to create an XML HTTP request. It tries it for Internet Explorer, and it sets up the URL. The URL here is different as the file is different, getNames_JSON.php. And this part is the same, but here, once my request is ready to be processed, I say response JSON, which is just a variable that I'm choosing. I'm calling eval to whatever text I got back from that page, concatenated with a set of parentheses on the side. Eval basically is a function that is defined in JavaScript that we can use to parse such JSON encoded strings. So if we have a string of this form, all we have to do is call eval, and it will create an object out of this string. Questions? Okay, great. So we have this object. How do we create it? Here I have a for variable I in response JSON. Response JSON is in. From this line, you know that response JSON is in. Array, yep, response JSON in array, and I'm saying for variable I in response JSON, which is the equivalent of the for each loop in PHP, so for each value in this array. So I'm saying for variable I in response JSON, I begin to create some HTML using the values that the object has. How do I access this object? Response JSON.name, response JSON.age, and response JSON of i.city. How do I get these name, age, and city values? That is how, those are my keys in this setup. So given such a string, it converts it into an object such that the value of the name of the first object can be accessed through the first object dot name. The second can be accessed through the value, the object dot name, the object of I dot name. So here it's going to say for the first object in this array, so go to the first object, grab each value, display the setup, which display this the string, which is nothing but name, comma, age, comma, city, and then set the get element by the set of suggestions, which is still the span from the HTML file, set its inner HTML to here. So one thing that is interesting here is you don't want to set it to that. but in fact you want to add to it each time you iterate. So if I don't have this plus, it is not going to loop through every single value that my JSON gives me, but in fact just plug in the last value that I get. So I want to add to this HTML, but the problem with that is then I'm going to keep adding and never erase this value, which is why up here I first clear the space out, and then for every set of results that I get for any given string, I begin to search by print out and add to that HTML span. And I add them all up. I concatenate it with a break, and once again I open my get URL. Let me just fix this to show you how this actually works. Week 9. I guess that wasn't good. So I have public underscore HTML. JSON, let's open suggest.js. The error here was that my eval function was in fact getting a variable that is undefined. So let me just take this value and correct it, go back here. So we have suggest.html, and when I hit shift refresh, it should work. There we go. So when I do that, it in fact, so the problem here, and I left this out because these are design decisions that you will come across when you do your own project, is to figure out how to handle a case where you don't have anything in there. Here, for instance, I just chose not to. So my getNames.php, in fact, returns all the values that exist because my input is empty. And when I enter BAR, it clears it out and then stores all this information and fills it out every time I do it. Questions?
For yours, your JSON output was just based on like your SQL query, or you just had like, mm-hmm. But are you doing a SQL query, and then for each row, basically, we'll be getting some RSS, right?
Right.
So will it still all just be one array?
Right. So it will be one array. Right.
So each item.
You wanna send, what you essentially wanna do is your JSON should look something, it should look of this form. So you have an array of, let's say, 5 cities, of which each city is associated with the zip code, the name, the zip code, the latitude, the longitude, and then a set of articles, which again is an array, storing the news and the links,
yeah.
So which you can grab from Google News.
So it's an array within an array.
It is an array within an array, which is all, well, they're all objects here because you're storing JSON objects and you're encoding them.
So when we name array.
Right.
For the inner array.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
And then my other question is, for your example, you just your output right there at the bottom is text. Would we be able to, instead of just creating text, assign names to variables, like for example markers,
mm-hmm.
for each one, instead of just creating a text, but fill a marker with that value?
So will you be able to fill the marker with that value? You, in fact, will not be filling the marker with the value, but you can associate a marker with a window, open window, and that open window can be associated with HTML. So it will be essentially the same. We'll be setting each marker is open window HTML to this value that you retrieve. Other questions? I'll be sticking around to help you out with Project Tree. Do swing by for next week. Tomorrow, next week's our last section. And good luck with Project Tree.